This is the SML Podcast.
That'll sound great. We are recording.
Already? What the fuck? What? Why?
We're on, baby.
Why? I'm watching a video.
Oh, well, finish watching the video.
Ooh, dude, that's fucking nuts. Holy shit.
This sounds really funny.
Dunked.
It seriously sounds like a dildo just hitting the table.
That's adorable.
It's adorable.
Alright, what's up, everybody? I'm small.
I'm medium now.
I'm large, and this is episode 13 of the Small Podcast.
Small. Today's topic is children dicks. And masturbation.
And dicks.
No,
everywhere.
Wait, hold on. Let me pull it out for this. Wait.
It's so cute. Okay.
Stop.
Okay.
Okay. No, we're gonna talk about the digital revolution. Revolution.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Okay.
Just the decline of the brick and mortar, as described in...
As Mega 64.
Mega 64's hysterical video.
This video is fucking hilarious.
GameStop hates you, now help them.
Yeah.
I'm Sarah McLachlan's biggest fan.
Yeah. I thought that looked like Olivia Munn at first, until I watched it.
Thank God it wasn't
Olivia
Munn.
I was like, did
Olivia
they get
Munn?
Olivia Munn
should,
for this?
No one should ever give that woman work anymore.
Yeah.
We've touched on this in previous podcasts. We've talked about how it's too large of a subject for us to go into.
So now we're going into it.
Now we're going in.
So yeah. Now that we're kind of pressed for time, we're going to go into it.
Yeah, now that we're pressed for time, we're gonna hit it hard.
I think if anything, we should try to like keep it kind of quick and to the point.
We're gonna try. This is a flowing podcast.
Like, no getting off topic talking about Dark Souls and Dokapon Kingdom.
Well, see, the
dude,
business
where,
is hard.
Where
like
have
Dark
you
Souls.
Been? That was like months ago.
Dark Souls, I think, has been mentioned in every episode.
Yes.
If not, then
and
we'll...
now it just got mentioned in this one.
So
tradition continues.
Bring it back.
Yeah. If it hasn't been mentioned in previous episodes, we'll make up for it in future.
We'll edit it out. We'll be like, and instead of the intro being like, I'm small, you're medium, he's large, it'll
I'm
be
dark,
like,
I'm Souls, yeah. And I'm Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And this
I'm
is
small,
the Dark Souls,
and then
Dark Soul.
You'll just hear it. It'll be dubbed over awkwardly to Dark Souls.
I'm Dark Souls.
I am Dark. Anyway, yeah, Mega 64 put out this video of showing the CEOs of the company crying and
into their money.
Yeah, crying into their money, and they're on the floor, and somebody's feeding them dog food because it's in a decline. We're seeing these new systems coming out, and we're gonna have, you know, day and date digital releases. And
like Sony's already doing for select titles.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, I know, has strong opinions about this.
Which aspect of it?
Well, you want brick and mortar stores around. You want physical copies of things. You don't want any of this bullshit.
I think physical copies can exist without GameStop.
Okay.
Because Amazon's always going to have it. Walmart's going to carry everything. Maybe not like the super high tier collector's editions. And then there's Kickstarter, which is
brilliant.
Easily becoming
check,
the hot
everybody
new
go check
way.
Out Hex. The trading card game.
Yeah, but you know what, though? This is actually valid for this discussion, because I got out of Magic
it
Gathering
actually,
a couple
yeah.
months ago, mainly just because it was expensive as fuck, and I always had, like, they're constantly putting out sets of cards way too quick, and I always feel
every
like
three
I
months
have...
they put out a new set, so they, every 3 months we are committed to spending about $150.
Right, on physical cards.
And
now,
then, and like, 80% of them would just go in a stack of shit.
Or
right,
common
so I've just
dupes
got, like,
that you don't need.
Yeah, and I've got, like, I've got a closet full of cards that won't see any play ever again. But what the fuck else am I going to do with
see,
them? So, but now this game Hex, it's, you know, now there's another layer to it. It's
a
MMO trading card
Joe's
game.
Joe's like, you're not to talk about
you
it.
You got to make this quick. We're supposed to talk about GameStop, and he has to be done in like 10 minutes.
We are.
Yeah,
we are.
Be done in about 30 seconds. So.
Anyway, MMO trading card game. The prowess is very magic-like.
Well, this is—it's basically Magic: The Gathering, But because it's digital, you don't have to worry about the bullshit of owning all of these cards you're never going to use.
Not to mention the price points of them. Like, a booster pack in this game is going to cost, like, $2.
Yeah, $2. Maybe. It's half the cost of what the physical medium is, which
is
nice.
You guys talk. I'm going to be over here.
No. I'm bringing it back in.
We're bringing it back.
Go ahead.
I'll be here.
It's just nice because you can go out and you can get this game without the burden of the physical medium. Whereas, Joe, you better get the fuck back over here.
I'm here.
I'm going to stab your eyes out with those pennies on the table.
Ashley's on her phone, so her battery's going to die in like 10 minutes.
LOL. How is that relevant? How is that relevant to this?
Yeah, right.
She's sitting at
GameStop and digital media.
So, GameStop.
So, anyway.
Well, 64 did a video about
hacks. I used to go and buy everything. Like, I loved physical stuff. I love Magic because I love having my deck. And
I love having your dick, too.
I love having my dick. I loved having that type of stuff, and my PC game collection was massive. I loved having the physical copies of it, but like all the big titles that have come out recently, even BioShock, which had a fancy, you know, I could get another statue. Woo!
What the hell was that?
He was excited for a statue.
Ric Flair popped up on the show.
So I could have gotten another fucking collector's edition, but I didn't. It came out, I ordered it on Steam, I preloaded it, and then I played it, and I was happy. And, like, I feel like I don't want to buy these physical things anymore, unless it is a super special edition that doesn't come with a trophy, because fuck those. Or a trophy, the statue.
But even still, I think even with, and I will mention Hex again,
Jesus Christ.
You're going to get demoted back to Kmart sweatpants.
Hold on
a minute.
Listen.
No, Jacob was sweatpants. He's
the
just
reason,
large.
The reason why I'm bringing it up is because take a market like a trading card game, okay? They haven't seen any real innovation in years. And now even that is taking a step into a completely digital format.
I'm out of pennies. What else can we throw at them?
But you see...
No, I see. And there's a correlation between this. And I'm wondering if this is a good thing. Like, what happens if GameStop goes away? How will this affect the industry?
I think a lot of casual, like...
Yeah, I think a lot of casual gamers are going to go away because not everyone wants to buy games directly on their system. Especially, like, you look at the Xbox 360, the biggest hard drive is 320 gig. You start buying full games, like, now, because they're still on DVDs, the big games are only, like, 7 gig.
You need to take into account that going into this next generation, too, we are going to see our internet speeds start going up. We're already on the cusp of, like, Verizon's Fios network and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have it now. 5 years from now, it's probably going to get to us.
My concern is with actual storage.
We're probably going to have a Steam sort of system where you're going to have an account on Xbox and you're going to be able to download it when you want to play it, and the download speeds are going to be so fast, it's not going to really worry about it.
You'll pretty much be like, because even how your Steam is set up, he'll play like, you know, he's got maybe like 20 games installed at a time.
And we're being speculative about this. This isn't like, this isn't truth going to happen, definitely.
I'm of the mindset, though, that if I paid for something, I want to have instant access to it. I don't want to have to, even if it's near instantaneous with super hyper fast internet speeds, if and when we actually get them, I don't want to have to re-download something.
My main concern is like what happened with SimCity. And what's going to happen with SimCity down the line is you put all this work into this game, and it's only in an online world.
Yeah.
So you built your little city, your little community, and now when those servers shut down, you're fucked. It's all gone.
Yeah.
It's not like a normal multiplayer game where it's like, oh shucks, I can't play Chrome Hounds anymore.
Yeah.
You didn't commit your life to that game.
Well, there's games like Phantasy Star Online.
Mm-hmm. That's another one.
I mean, technically, if you own it for the GameCube or the Dreamcast, you could still play it offline. But if you own the Xbox One version, you're fucked because you needed Xbox Live to even play the game.
See, that's where I think that this is the interesting thing about the future here is we're going into this thing where the companies that are putting out the games, even if we don't include GameStop in it, because they're going to get cut out. The middleman's going to be gone at some point.
Yeah.
And I think we are going to be buying, like, I imagine that companies or distributors or publishers might even do their own version of Kickstarter. They might present the game to the public at a venue like E3 and be like, if this is something you like, you know, put some money down on it. We will update you. You will have a say in some of how it gets made.
Yeah.
I think that would be interesting. They might even just, because we're going to be hitting that digital frontier, and they might even do, like, if you spend $60 on it, we will give you a physical copy.
Yeah, but that'll get to the point where Kickstarter isn't going to cost $50,000 to start. It's going to be like, oh, well, if you want this game to exist, we're going to need $12 million.
Well, I think that we're moving away from that, too. Because that's the problem with the games industry currently, is that we
have... It costs so much for production.
Well, how is it...
I think as long as there's still games like Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty, there's still going to be games with massive budgets.
But here's the problem with those, is like, we have Tomb Raider sells 6 million copies.
And it wasn't enough.
That's outrageous. Because there will always be the Call of Duties and things like that.
Honestly, I don't see how Tomb Raider costs that much.
Exactly. See, that's the problem, is that they make these massive games, and that's the problem, is like, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 and Modern Warfare 2 could not have cost that much to make.
Because they used assets from Modern Warfare 1.
Yeah, 1 and 2.
Call of Duty 2.
They up-res some of the textures. I mean, seriously, that 10-year span of that game engine is like... That's ridiculous that they did that for so long and charged us so much. In my day, those were fucking expansions.
Yeah.
Like, those were... Look at the old Ghost Recon games on the Xbox. Yeah. They had, like, 4 different expansions that were whole new campaigns.
Look at Dead Island Riptide.
Dead Island Riptide's a good example.
I mean, it is a fun game, despite the random zombies that... allegedly, from what I read online, are throwing weapons at you that immediately murder you.
Murder your face.
Sweet.
One hit kill. Gotta love it. And you never see it.
Sweet.
Just random. What the fuck killed me? I died. Whatever. There goes a big chunk of my money.
But wow. How long? It's not hardcore.
Yeah, right.
So how long do you see GameStop lasting?
Well, my...
I think it's still too soon.
I'm giving GameStop a good...
10 years?
10 years. 8 to 10 years. My current store... The boss and I were talking about it last night. I think that store is going to last and be profitable for another 6 years. I think it's going to last into this next console cycle. But once that console cycle comes to its decline, once people start speculating about the systems after the fact, we're gonna start seeing a heavy drop in profit, because by that point, I think the market will have shifted mostly digital. And since they're trying to get a lot of the backwards compatibility being digital, we're going to see a lot of people just going, I want Kingdom Hearts. I'm just going to download it for $6 off PSN. Because PSN's prices are usually pretty reasonable, too.
The thing is, their selection is minuscule.
They're trying to transition into this kind of era. I mean, like, you still have a lot of people that want their physical copies everything like that. You have to wean them into it. You're not just going to take everything and be like, all right, here's our entire fucking library, go to town. Like...
Well, no, I really feel like Sony beta tested PSN with the PS3. I have very little faith in Sony actually doing something fucking right.
Yeah.
But I still think that, like, that company is not dumb. They have put a lot of emphasis on the PlayStation brand. They just turned over their first profit in the past 5 years because of the PlayStation brand. They've done a lot of restructuring to focus more on it. I feel like they're not going to screw up the PlayStation 4. I think that they're going to...
I think it's going to be a very pleasant surprise.
I hope so. I think that we're going to see what the Xbox was this generation might be what the PlayStation 4 is next generation.
I honestly think so, too.
Until I see what Xbox does.
Yeah. Right now...
Just a few weeks. We're almost there.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, it is. That's really fucking close. Damn.
We gotta do a big podcast. We gotta do like a party for that.
Yeah, party cast.
Party cast. Yeah,
so
yeah.
What are your pros and cons of GameStop now?
My pros of GameStop are, like, when you get a store, like the store here that we have that's by Panera Bread, I like the people that work there. I can go up there and hang out and talk to them, talk games. I like that I occasionally find rare shit. Like, as weird as that sounds, like, I've walked in and I found, like, oh, there's a fucking Zelda DS Lite here. Oh, there's a Game Boy Micro. Like,
well, I know what I found stuff at the Bloomsburg GameStop just a couple months ago.
What's that?
Tales of Vesperia Collector's Edition.
Wow. Yeah, you
don't
see that.
$30.
Wow. See, stuff like that's fun. I love... some of the collector's editions and the point rewards that you can do.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff, like the Gears gun that you got burned on.
I really wish they would get some more worthwhile shit in their rewards.
Yeah, but occasionally they have something really cool.
Yeah.
And I do like that because...
I want that Tyrael hoodie. That Tyrael hoodie's fucking sick.
I don't think I saw that one.
But I think it's been on there since they actually launched that fucking program.
And I'll tell you what, being in the sales portion of the industry, they're... store credit prices are usually fairly reasonable with the bonuses.
Yeah, when they have the bonuses.
When they have the bonus, if you
and they used to be shitty. I think the reason they're getting better is because places like Amazon, Best Buy, they're taking trades now.
And
it's all about the video game store. You guys forced GameStop's hand.
Yeah, no, we took away a lot of business from that. Yeah.
But well, did you see that that GameStop has already decided that they're taking all their PlayStation 2 stuff
PlayStation
out.
2 out of, was it June 1st, they're gone.
Yep. Yeah, that, well, I don't think they're getting rid of it, because they said that
they
they're still going to...
They're done taking it,
yeah. But they're still going to sell what they have.
Yeah, but who's really, like, right now, who's really buying it?
No one.
You'll get a couple people here and there, but eventually it's going to be like, it'll probably take, like, 3 or 4 months, and they'll just be like, well, we're not fucking turning anything around. We could revamp our entire layout of our store by taking an entire... end cap away, or one of those fucking things away.
Most of the GameStops I've gone to, all the PS2 games are just the discs in paper sleeves in a little box
on the counter. Yeah,
like they pretty much already
now
dropped them.
There's the other thing that I love is the Pro Rewards card is very reasonable price, and you get a year subscription to Game Informer for like free.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, Game Informer doesn't necessarily cover a lot of the stuff that I'm actually really excited for.
I understand that, but here, what is it? The Pro thing costs, what, $20?
I thought it was 15.
I think it's like 15.
$15,
whatever
right?
it is.
So for $15, they're giving you discounts on used things, they're giving you bonus trading credit, they're giving you a free copy of, or free year subscription to Game Informer, and they're giving you the points on when you trade in and buy stuff. I mean, the point system alone that they implemented into that is, like, if you buy games a lot and do a lot of trade-ins and stuff like that...
You're probably broke.
Well, you're probably broke, but at the same time, that's one of those things that a company doesn't have to do.
Yeah.
I really don't think GameStop is as evil as we make them out to be, but, I mean, there is...
I think their used game prices are shitty.
Well, that's the cons, is that their used game prices are usually outrageous. Like...
Before we get to the cons, back to the rewards thing. Have you ever gotten anything cool from the rewards?
Yeah. We got one of the Golden Lancers.
Did you?
Yeah, me and my boss like teamed up and got a few of those. And then I was going to get one for myself and ended up just being like, nah, just put it on eBay.
Oh, yeah. I was talking to you about
that. Yeah. And then, what else did I get?
I got a controller. Honestly, it really wasn't that bad. I got the controller for my PC.
Coupons all the time, like the $25 off, the $50 off.
I never get those. I've only ever really used my points on stuff that I can't get. If it's a coupon for money off, I'll just use money. But, like, I couldn't...
Some of us don't have that luxury.
Yeah, some of us don't have money, faggot.
Well, you could trade stuff in. But an art print for Kingdoms of Amalur signed by Kurt Schilling, I can't go into GameStop and buy that. Or the Fire Emblem art book. I couldn't get one of those despite pre-ordering the game.
Yeah.
But I paid 4,000 reward points, and surprise, GameStop has a shitload of them again. Yeah. Didn't send them to stores, but you could spend your points on them.
Wait, what was this that they had?
The Fire Emblem art book.
Oh, didn't I give you one?
No.
Oh, here. I'll be right back.
So how are you?
I'm good. I think as far as like even the point system, I think they kind of had to implement something like that to try and entice more people to give them their business.
Yeah, because a lot of people were going elsewhere. I'll say for goddamn fact, I miss EB Games.
Yep.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I miss EB Games. I miss Software, etc. I miss Babbage's, and they all just merged into GameStop. And yeah. I was so excited the first time GameStop showed up in our area, because it was nothing but EB. And I was like, man, I wish there was a GameStop around. I hear they're so much better than EB.
Be careful what you wish
for. And then they showed up, and a month later they merged. Son of a bitch. I miss the competition.
Yeah, I do miss the competition.
Yeah, well, because it seems like you would actually get fairly better pricing when there's more competition.
Yeah.
When GameStop is pretty much the major retailer, and really the only people that, and I know from working up at Best Buy, as far as our game sales were concerned when I worked there, most of the time when we sold games, it was someone buying a console for the first time, and they're like, well, I need a game.
Yeah.
And that was it. Nobody really came in and was like, oh, well, I need to get this, you know, I'm perusing through your collection, because our selection was fucking horrid. Pre-releases for certain titles were okay, because sometimes we would get some exclusive stuff for certain games, but even then it would be something stupid, like a fucking wristband or something that you throw away after a week. Like, so, and as far as pricing is concerned, you can go to every single place that has it, and it's always going to be $60 for a new title. Like, it's just, that's just how it works.
Speaking of shitty selection, I think that could bring us to the cons of GameStop. I gotta say, their selection.
Honestly, I would say if you have to compare them to any other major retailer, they have the best, because that's what they're.
But if you go online,
we're not talking about online. We're talking about.
Well, I'm comparing it to what's available there. I'll say when it comes to GameStop, when there's a game that, oh well, you didn't pre-order it, we only got enough to cover pre-orders. That's bullshit. You're a game store. You should have this. It's a
that
new
depends
game.
On the developer too, though.
Well, and that depends on that depends on the business risk too. Because look at it this way: if every GameStop in the country got one extra copy of, you know, Xenoblade, and it turned out that it sucked, everybody hated it, and it was let's put it this way: Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Aliens, Colonial Marines.
If every GameStop in the country got, you know, one or two extra, then no one bought it. That company's out hundreds of thousands of dollars because of that. For games that are high risk. Like, I completely understand why they don't get in those extra
copies. I'm talking,
copies.
Like, more niche titles, like JRPGs.
Well,
or
yeah,
something
but,
like Cordyceps Saga.
I feel
see,
like
that's one,
premonition.
That's one of those things where I feel you should be able to go to them, and this is what they do. They go
they're,
to them,
they're
and
they go...
a fucking
game store.
But you go to them, and they go, they will get it in for you.
I've had the GameStop
and you have
get
to.
Games all
like,
the time.
There's
I know,
no way that they would be able to carry that much of an inventory that some schmuck coming off the road, you know, going like, hey, you guys have fucking Tetris Attack? Oh, you don't? All right, well, fuck you.
Okay, well,
if it's...
But Joe's that kind of
guy. I think there's a difference between a game that's been out for a year, 2 years,
Ashley
3 years,
agrees.
Or a game that just came out.
Okay, that's great. What about Shadows of the Damned? We could not find a copy of that to fucking save our lives.
They should have had it.
But they didn't. And it's, I'm not gonna horribly fault them for it, because it was a niched title.
I mean, sure, they could be like, oh, well, we could find it at this store. Do you want to go there? Most of the places I talk to, they're
they ship them.
Do you want to drive there, or we could have it shipped to your house? Why don't I just go on Amazon and have it shipped to my house in 2 days for free?
So, real quick, Kurt just showed up. Pros and cons of GameStop.
One of the pros is they have a large selection. They're easily accessible because they're a nationwide realtor, and they're a publicly traded company, which means the people who patronize the company have some say in what they do by either giving them business or denying them business. One of the cons is they kind of have a corner on the market that they do, because they have such a big stake in the video game industry, so they can set the prices.
Yeah.
Do you want to buy a copy of game XYZ? $35.99 if you don't like it.
Do you want to buy Left 4 Dead 2 right now?
For
go to GameStop.
$40.
I think it's $47.99 now or some shit.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, those prices are set because there are people willing to pay those prices. It's a supply and demand.
Want to know where I found Left 4 Dead? Walmart. $29.99, brand new.
Okay, my boss right now is going around all of the Kmarts in the state raiding them, because he found Heavenly Sword for $4. It's selling for $40. Online.
Really? Heavenly Sword?
Brand new. Sealed. It sells for that much.
Wow.
Used as nothing. Zelda Skyward Sword. $19.99. It's going for like $35 online. Huh. Yeah, he's making out like a friggin' bandit. Right
oh,
now.
Ass Creed?
Assassin's Creed Collector's Edition for $29. And it's selling for $40 online.
Oh, the Hazleton Kmart has one for PS3.
It's already been raided.
Nice.
It is no longer with us.
Told you we
should have
got that when we were there.
That's funny as shit. Yeah, I mean, like, me personally, brick and mortar stores, and I'll tell you this just because this is what kind of a consumer I am when it comes to games or anything in that matter. I think I've purchased things online for myself 4 times ever, because I like being able to go to somewhere and be like, okay, this is exactly what I want. Yeah. When it comes to games are something that I think, you know, it's just most of them, unless it's a collector's edition, yeah, where I want to say like, oh, you know, I want to see what the box is like because I don't want it to get fucked up.
So when
I get
punched in.
Right.
UPS guy fucked it.
When it comes to just like, I'm just going to buy a disc of a game that I want to play, the disc is in a fucking container that, you know, could be shipped from anywhere,
yeah,
or digitally downloaded, so I don't have to have a physical copy. I don't mind that.
I do enjoy the hunt, too, like going to a GameStop and like looking around, looking at the stuff behind the counter, because now and then you'll see like a fucking, you know, Street Fighter 4 arcade stick buried up behind there that no one saw.
Yeah, you heard what I got at the Seelings Grove GameStop. R2 D2 controller.
Mmm. Or the C-3PO.
Or C-3PO, yeah.
You fucking noob.
Yep, $40.
What,
well,
the fuck?
Whatever, I'm tired.
Why do I
want? I really want to get an Injustice fight stick, but I just don't want to spend the money on it right now. Because now I'm just going to fucking... I'm going to dump money into Kickstart and Hex.
Hell yeah. Dude, I haven't even seen it. I heard about it. I'm like, yep, shut up and take my money.
Dude, I threw my wallet
at the screen.
I've never backed a Kickstarter. This will be my first Kickstarter backing. And I say that with confidence that I will put money into this game.
I showed it to Jake, expecting him to back it. Not as much as I was going to, because Jake's like, well, I shouldn't be spending too much money. And he goes, dude, I just backed the $500 tier. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, $500.
Fuck it. You guys want to talk Kickstarters? You guys should check out the Kickstarter for my friend Glenn Case. He's doing an album called Throw Money. It's an album he's been working on for years. He's finally putting it together, finally releasing it. He has like 7 or 8 days left, and he's $600 away.
Is he an 8-bit pimp?
Check him out. No, he's not an 8-bit pimp.
Too bad.
We'll be seeing the 8-bit pimp this weekend.
A rival.
A rival.
My God, he's catchy.
I love that dude.
Yeah, he sent it to me on Facebook the one day. He was just like, yeah, this is one of the guys I'm probably going to be working with. You should probably check this out. And I checked it out, and I was just like, damn. This is awesome.
Working with him
like,
through Kunal, I guess?
Yeah. He's our...
Can we have one of his songs at the end of the...
We're going to do two of his yeah, and two of...
Two A-Rival songs and two from the Altered Beasts, but we'll get to that at the end.
Mm.
The Altered Beasts, yeah. It's a guitar duo from the two guitar players from the 1-Ups.
Oh, neat.
And it's beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Reader Mail.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Where are we in here?
Yeah, how do you feel
what
about
his,
the,
what was
oh, yeah,
his
how
name?
How do you feel about
dicks?
Digital downloads of games instead of hard copies, like brick and mortar stores versus
we're talking about. Did you see that Mega 64 video?
No.
All right, it's like CEOs of GameStop crying because they know that their shit's in decline. So,
so people understand my viewpoint here. You got to understand my background. I came from a background of the VHS collector back in the day before DVD, way before DVD.
Walking into Phoenix Comics.
No.
Do you remember this?
No, I'm talking about, you know, finding dudes with articles in the back of Fangoria magazine, getting their mail order catalog, and getting duplicates, like VHS duplicates of movies you've been searching 6, 7, 8 years for. Like, having that item in my hand is important to me. So for two reasons, I prefer the actual copy over the digital download. One, I like having it in my hand just because of growing up like that. That's my past. Two, I don't like the fact that some company says this service too expensive to run, shutting it off. There goes my game. Yeah. I can't have it anymore.
Which is something we brought up
earlier too.
Yeah, like the Borderlands Game of the Year edition. Like, I like the fact that now I have all the downloadable content. I can play them at any time. I'm not at the whim of Xbox saying, "Well, it's not profitable. Goodbye." You know, so.
Yeah.
Or the first run of the Game of the Year edition, where they just included a sheet of codes for the 4 DLCs.
Yeah, no, I have the physical disc.
The one of the 2 discs?
Yeah, that was horseshit.
I know a lot of GameStops that lost that paper.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my friends mysteriously got the DLC.
Well, if they have any extras...
Oh, God, you can't find those anymore.
All right, let's set up that reader mail. We've
all right,
got like 15 minutes.
First one from Zachary Lyons, one of the former Gaming Vault writers. Hopefully... I think he's coming aboard with Save Continue, if that ever launches.
Right.
He has some SML suggestions. We have So Much Love, Suck My Left Nut, I guess.
Disqualified.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sizzling Man Love. That's a pretty good one.
Well, yeah. But
not as good as, what was it, Super Lava? No, Super... Superman lava or something like that. I can't
Don't
remember.
You have it written down?
It's on my phone.
Was it sexual molten lava?
Sexual molten lava. That's what it was.
I still think the top one right now is someone might listen.
I have written down.
Seriously mental listening.
I think Blade Mode was a good one, too.
And then Sexy Mario and Luigi.
Disqualified. I'm sorry.
No, it's an and sign. An incidental.
Yeah, also okay. Copyright infringement and...
Well, yeah, but...
So we don't have time to waste on you. Please keep listening.
Okay.
What's the... Was there any question?
No, just so some names.
Well, then that's... It was a contest entry. You can do better than that. You can still win the wonderful prizes.
Still plenty of time.
And a reminder, one of the prizes so far is going to be a $50 GameStop gift card.
Yeah,
if they're still alive by
then. How are you getting that? Like, I didn't know we were going to be...
poop it out. What do you think?
I didn't know we were going like that extravagant.
We'll figure it out.
Well, no, there's... And, the grand prize is the most extravagant.
Yeah!
We won't announce that until we announce the winner.
All right, next one, Joe Stratman, Henry Jones. Let's see, this is a long one.
Dr. Jones.
In your last episode, you discussed, among other things, fighting games and the difference between being fighting games being cheap and fighting games that simply require you to master them. Now, as a person experienced in games you have to master, I've beaten Ninja Gaiden in most of the Ghosts and Goblins games, and someone who can admit to sucking at fighting games, I'm curious as to what your opinions are on critical moves. You know, the ones that you pull out of your ass when you're getting beat up and knock half the health off the other person. To me, these seem to be the biggest drawbacks in modern fighting games.
I have something perfect for this.
Yeah.
You need to go to YouTube right now, and you need to search Justin Wong versus Daigo, Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
Oh, God, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because what this is, this shows you that what happens in this video... to spoil it for you, but watch it anyway because I still scream. I saw it 4 years ago and I still scream when I watch it.
I watch it like once a year.
This particular video, I watch it like once a week.
Yeah.
This particular video was a tournament between two of the world's best, and before, I guess this is right around when they're really getting known as being the world's best too. Chung Li versus Ken, and it literally gets down to the third and final match. They both have one win. Whoever wins the next one wins the round. And the Ken has literally a pixel of his health left. If he sneezes, he's dead. And Chung Li goes in for her ultra. This game has a mechanic where if you tap forward at the exact moment you get hit, you can block the hit. It's called a technical block. Chung Li uses her ultra to finish him, and he blocks every hit of the 18-hit ultra combo with perfect timing, even jumping in the air to hit the air portion of it, because it launches you. I mean, you will never see anything like this, and then he lands, instantly connects with his ultra, and finishes her and wins the tournament. It's unbelievable.
The crowd reaction alone is amazing.
Yeah, everyone's
on their feet.
There are ways around the ultra combos in 99% of these games.
Yeah.
Most of the time...
But you have to be a master.
No, you don't.
You just have to know the mechanics.
Even Street Fighter 4 right now, you can just block. You can just block, and then you get a chance to punish them for using the ultra move. A lot of games, you won't even see in tournaments people use the ultra moves. Because it gives the person a chance, if they can defeat it, to... come back and punish them severely for it.
I like how I didn't even finish his email, though.
Okay, well your email's too long. Yeah. But yeah, we answered that question. Keep going.
He says, you can have the most balanced roster with the beat system, and it immediately goes to crap if you have critical moves that favor certain characters, especially selectable boss characters, which I agree. When selectable boss characters are around, they're usually overpowered.
Okay, well,
here's
a point
at the same time. At the same time, too, and it goes back to what he was saying, all of their moves... can be.
Well, there is something to point out with that, too, is there are things called tier lists that show up in the tournament scene. Like, Sagat was huge in the tier list. He was like, there are people that are ranked based upon how broken their move sets are.
Yeah.
And you can be very cheap, or it just means that the balance of that person's health, the way they can attack, the combos they can do, means that they're the best character to play right now, given that patch. But that doesn't mean that they're completely undefeatable. You still want to stay higher on that tier list because you will see people play other characters and whoop people, absolutely whoop people, just because they know their characters.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody in tournaments, you will ever see anybody play a secret selectable boss character because they suck.
Hey, go Dan or go home. Anyway, even when something like Persona 4 Arena makes it so anyone can easily use and cancel critical moves if they have the proper meters filled, they still have an instant death move that automatically kills the other player if they can hit it. These don't feel like challenges, but they feel like cheap ways to get people out of tight spots instead of fighting their way out strategically. Hell, Marvel vs. Capcom feels like nothing but critical moves if you're doing it quote-unquote right, and that's why I never found those games fun.
I never played them either.
Well, Marvel vs. Capcom is like, you can teach a college class on that.
He's wrapping it up.
Okay, he's still going.
Right. He's still going. Anyways, just wanted your thoughts. By the way, if you want a modern fighting game where you have to be genuinely good to master it and doesn't add critical moves or instant death or anything like that, Virtual Fighter 5 is awesome.
I love Virtual Fighter.
The after completion boss is still extremely cheap, but you still get credit for completing the game if you lose to it. Joe, a.k.a. Henry Jones.
I have to say, Virtual Fighter was one of my favorite fighting games because it was a straight-up fighter. You literally just had to know your moveset, and you had to know the other person's moveset. And everybody said that I was dumb for wanting to play those games all the time. That was actually, like,
you're dumb.
The first fighting game multiple that I ever reasons. Bought a fight stick for was Virtual Fighter. And it was for when I got my 360, because it was, I mean, like, I just started really getting into fighting games almost semi-competitively, where I actually wanted to, like, you know, do some tournaments and shit.
I really think that a lot of people go into fighting games with the wrong mentality. That they, I mean, like, Kurt and I used to play Dead or Alive 3 on the Xbox, and we had rules, house rules, where anybody who played it, all random characters, all the time.
Right.
So we would go and play, and people, we have no fucking clue what their moves are. But it was funny because it's set to like 40 people too or something.
Yeah, it was a 5v5, and we're just random everybody. Yeah. And sometimes you got guys you're great with, sometimes you got guys you sucked with, and once in a while you get that character you're best with as your last character, your anchor character. So
and
you're like, this is in the bag. I can have all wrestlers before this, and I'm still gonna win because I rule with this person.
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, a lot of the fun of fighting games. There's two different ways to play. Actually, three. If you're gonna play it for the story, then you should be able to learn it to beat the story. Fighting games have a huge learning curve to it. If you surmount that curve, like I said the other week with Street Fighter, I mean, I used to not be able to beat Seth on the easiest mode with the cheapest character. And now I can put it on the hardest difficulty and play it fucking blindfolded because of that difficulty.
Then come to my place and unlock all the achievements
I'll come to your place and give you a mushroom-shaped tattoo on your face.
Cool. As long as you get me all the achievements. Because I hate Seth, but we've already covered that I'm a pussy who sucks at fighting games, so I'm staying out of this one.
Yeah, I mean, if you play it with your friends casually, you don't really need to learn it. You just do what we did. Random, 5v5, Dead or Alive 3. Do that on, do or some version of that on any other fighting game, you're going to have a fucking blast with your friends. Street Fighter, if you're going to play it for the story or Injustice, you have to learn it to a certain extent, because those games are designed to have a certain learning curve to them. If you play a tournament, go out and grab the strategy guide that it comes with. Read through that. It gives you great basic tips if you're trying to get into it. Then once you get a really good grasp on that, go online. Watch tournaments. Watch what they do and try to copy how they're doing it. Read the forums. Start learning all those movesets. Look at the tier lists. And then all of a sudden, one day, after a few weeks or months of doing it, you will be at a point where you can go into a tournament and you can hold your own. I'm not saying you're going to win, but you can do really well. I mean, there is no fighting game that is absolutely cheap, cheap, cheap. You just need to learn it. That's all it is. Next question.
Stick to Tetris.
I was going to say, if I could even throw in, it's not that fighting games are a one-and-done genre. I mean, there's particular fighting games for what you like out of a fighting game.
Yes.
I don't like Tekken because I feel the combat is too slow. I love Dead or Alive because it's fast.
8 minutes.
You know, and there's certain games, I don't know if any of you guys remember the Bushido Blade series.
Oh, they were awesome. They were all instant kills.
Exactly. And it's like, you have to learn how to play that game to play it, but I loved it because
it was sweet.
It was so tense because, am I going to win this round? I've got one chance at this.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, it's like samurai fighting. You have swords, yeah, it's like kendo. And you have to do moves, and if you don't block by basically like connecting your moves to the other person's moves, you get hit and you're dead. One hit kill. And it was awesome.
And they also had cripples, like you could hit their arm and they lose use of an arm or their legs and they're crawling around.
Yeah.
I love
the fighting genre because it's so...
Worst part of Bushido Blade was the one boss with a gun. that was bullshit. That's a cheap boss in a game.
Okay, quick rundown, just because we probably won't touch upon fighting games too often in this podcast.
Hope not.
Smash Brothers. Quick top three.
Well, you're not being fucking quick about it.
Quick top three fighting games. Go.
I would say Dead or Alive 3, Killer Instinct Gold, and then anything after that, because I'm not much of a fighter.
Okay, go.
Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, Guilty Gear, and, oh god, probably Injustice now. Sweet. I really like Injustice.
I'm going to go with the Smash Brothers games, because I can actually play those.
I forgot about
Killer Instinct was fun, and fuck, I don't know, Power Stone.
Power Stone?
Well, yeah, Power Stone.
experience.
I don't know. I think I would probably have to go...
Def Jam Fight for New York. I forgot that one.
Dude, good fucking game.
Didn't
want to
forget that one.
Fun as hell.
I'm going to go Ultimate MK3. Not for number one. I'm going 3-1. Ultimate MK3 for 3. Killer Instinct, not Gold, but the
Let's
first...
Let's do this quick.
The
Real
first
quick.
One.
I want you quick.
The first one for number two. Number one fighting game, I might actually go Soul Calibur 2.
Dicks. Okay. That's
not too bad.
Next up, Black Chad, which, have you tried his demo yet?
I looked at it, I didn't get to play it yet.
Fuck you. Alright, he has some SML suggestions. Shooting My Load. How didn't you think of that?
How did we not think of that? Alright, we'll give him a point in the ring.
Squirting Man Love. We have a lot of man love.
We've had a lot of...
There's too many people putting man love.
Well,
like something
I still think Squishy Man Love for me.
We're gonna keep it rolling. We're short on time.
Simple My Lads. Sure My Love. Security Maximum Levels. Ship My Leavings. Share My Loot. Superman Loses. Slender Man Left. And my question is, what would be your favorite victory fanfare from any RPG?
Favorite, Final Fantasy 7. Fantasy 7 version of it.
Hey, you're the winners!
Yep.
I think that's one of my least favorite because it's like some disco shit.
Yeah. That's the point.
Give me Final Fantasy 6 or Final Fantasy 4, some classic.
Let me just get out of that.
I am so not a RPG player.
Chrono Trigger?
I have to go with Final Fantasy 7 because that's the only one.
Mario RPG has a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Mario RPG is good. Yeah. All right, next question. Go.
Next one. Someone named Stephanie. Do you guys know a Stephanie?
Maybe.
Hey guys, enjoy the show and have a question for you.
Shit, we got like a
what
real
is your
fan.
Favorite gaming console of all time and why? Also, SML suggestions, superb man leashes, some menstruation.
She gets a point.
Some menstruation lingers. Son.
2 points.
Son, masturbate less. And then sloppy moth labia.
Stephanie, you're my new favorite human being.
She's in the lead.
Right now, she's in the lead. Because they were all solid.
They were. I don't know if any individual one is better than Someone Might Listen.
Someone Might Listen did have us roll in. But that's
Those were all like right in a row. That was great.
Favorite console of all time and why? Tim?
Virtual Boy.
What?
I'm not even kidding. TV dinner table, fold-out TV dinner table, in the bathroom in my mother's basement. I would go and drop a deuce and play, like, a level of, like, Red Alarm.
And get red corneas.
It was awesome. I love that system. I think it's very underrated.
Wario game was awesome.
The Wario game was amazing. Yeah. Red Alarm was like a wireframe fucking Star Fox, but in 3D. It was awesome. There was some homebrew guys making a Silent Hill game for it. Like, there was some crazy stuff going on. And it was a fantastic system that I think just came out at the wrong time.
I think the way it was presented was
weak. I mean, if they did it like a different color, not red, because red was rough.
Oh my god!
I think if they
so
gave it more time,
bad,
too.
I think that they.
It'd be like if they gave up on the Wii U right now.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, right.
It was a cool system. I love that system. I love weird portable systems, or quote portable end quote systems.
I still need a new stand for mine.
Other than that, PC of course. PC is my jam.
Console. But that's not a console.
I can make it into a fucking console if I want.
Favorite console.
Suck my dick, nigga.
No, a release, like a console.
Then favorite, Virtual Boy. I'm just going to roll with Virtual Boy. Go.
Super Nintendo for the RPGs. That was
good.
Like, I would want to say PlayStation 1 for their RPGs, but it is so much easier to go back and play a Super Nintendo game with 16-bit sprites and pixels than PlayStation 1 3D. which looks like shit smeared in more shit.
It does.
I think I might catch some flack for this one.
Oh, here we go.
Sega Dreamcast.
That's a good one.
Yeah, no, that's solid. That was a good fucking system.
That is my favorite system.
It's still a shame that one died.
That was the only...
That should not have died.
No, it should not have.
And it died because of PlayStation 2 hype.
Yes.
Not the actual system.
My Dreamcast was the only console that I ever owned that I modded. Because I actually, like, I painted it up real nice, fucking, like, dude, it was sick.
Dude, I saw the sickest, somebody painted theirs, the system and the controller up with the Jet Set Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I'll try to find the paint job one.
I had a black Sega Sports Dreamcast.
Yeah, I see those all the time, they're junk.
If you
fucking kill me.
If you find one, let me know.
Alright.
Because I'm looking for one again.
Kurt, go.
Alright, get ready to crucify me. Honestly, original Xbox. I got
that's
one.
That's I can't crucify
and
for
I'll
that
tell you
either.
What, I grew up on Atari... And then had limited Nintendo, had limited N64.
And you're the reason why I bought that system,
but
too.
But Xbox was the first console that I really sat down and was like, wow, gaming is amazing. It had a whole new level of graphics than what I was used to. So many games I spent so much time on. I mean, GTA 3, Dead or Alive 3. I mean, what
Halo.
Do we...
Actually,
Halo.
Halo spent
hundreds
weeks,
of hours playing multiplayer in my living room. And
even
just
because
so
I had an original Xbox as well. Amped snowboarding.
All right, we're at time.
I absolutely fucking love. It was one of the first games that I implemented a custom soundtrack into. And I'm like, my fucking mind was blown.
We'll do this
quick,
then.
Like, just being able to listen to songs that I had on CD. All right,
last question. Then we're gonna cut it.
I do want to say I wish Microsoft would go back to when they were in the Xbox days, where they actually put out games.
Hallelujah.
They
Sudeikis,
might.
Sudeikis 2, please. Final email from Pappy Trosboutre, who said that we canceled yesterday because he was going to try calling in.
I'm sorry, Pappy.
Two name suggestions. Scented Manatee Lube, which... And
that's a tough act to follow from the last
one. Yeah, it is.
We would have laughed if the last one wasn't so good.
Sniff My Labia, which I guess he's admitting something. question, which company will make the biggest mistakes concerning their new consoles, Microsoft or Sony? Microsoft.
Nintendo.
I don't know. Sony didn't impress me, but Microsoft, based on what I've heard so far, they sound like they're going to disappoint. But maybe all the rumors have... changed their mind.
I don't know. I mean, the 360 was... It's solid.
Well,
I mean, like, how do you completely crash and burn after
Kinect.
That? Like,
No. Gimmicky. Not Kinect. Absolutely.
Not Kinect.
Because as much as you don't like it, a lot of people do like it.
A lot of people
and
do.
And I think the tech is going to go... I think the tech is... The amount of tech they're going to put into the successor to Kinect is going to make it... Make us forget how bad the original
and
Kinect
I,
was.
And I hope I'm proven wrong, but right now, name real... legitimately good Kinect games.
The Journey one is not bad.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's supposed to be good.
Just Dance, really?
That's Just Dance is really good.
Yeah.
Following.
If you're going to go with it, well, it has a big following, but if you're going to go with a dance game, at least go with Dance Central.
Fucking Power Rangers Samurai and Dragon Ball Z Kinect.
And, well, actually, in all seriousness, the adventure thing, Kinect Adventure,
yeah, Kinect Adventures
really
is good.
Bad. Like,
but, I think that
or actually the sports with
Kinect Sports was pretty good.
Not the motion sports one.
But
there's
no real must have. There's games where if you have a Kinect, you'll be like, yeah, I'll try that. That's a decent distraction.
You are correct about that.
There's nothing that's like, I need a Kinect to play this game because this game is getting 9s and 10s.
It was
reviews.
A good foundation for what they can do soon. And I mean, but the things that Microsoft I'm excited for are just the new system in general. I'm excited for the whatever they do with the next Kinect, because I think that there's potential if they can harness
it. Has
it.
Nothing
I think
to do
so
with
too.
The question.
And then, well, yeah,
well,
but
no, worried
just
about
what, who's
going to
make
worried,
the biggest
I'm
mistake.
I'm getting well, yeah, this is what I'm getting to.
Okay,
the Illumirum looks really neat, but
that does. I hope that's real.
The talk about the online only. If they do that, it will be the blunder of the fucking century.
Yeah,
and if they focus on too much of this, like. DVR bullshit that's rumored too.
Yeah.
They're gonna kill themselves. That's they have the highest chance of fucking.
They
up.
Have the highest.
Sony
chance
played it safe.
Sony is advertising a game console.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Microsoft needs to advertise a game console and not an home entertainment.
They need to be.
Complex.
They need to hammer out this is a game console, and then they're like, but you can also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
games need to come first.
So. All right, what songs are we doing?
All right, we are going to end up. I don't know which songs from Arrival. We're going to pick two
all
from
of
him.
Them.
You're gonna do.
Show me your girl.
Yeah, show me girl. You're going to do show
okay,
me
I'll
girl.
I'll do show
and,
me girl and then
do
I'll
secrets cuz I really
Well, I'm going to see if I could get something from his new album.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm going to talk to him. If not, we'll throw another classic A Rival, maybe an old AE throwback song from OC Remix. Find out more about A Rival at planetskill.com or rival.bandcamp.com. Then we're also going to toss in two songs from the Altered Beasts, as I mentioned before, Tim and William of the One Ups, a guitar duo. Awesome music to fall asleep to and just relax and chill and read. I'm doing Gitaru Man, the legendary theme, and Earthbound Pollyanna from them.
Cool.
And
all right.
Buy it on iTunes. It's good.
And we're good. Peace.
Where's the goddamn beat?
I step into the place and I'm ready to go. You see, I'm futuristic yet so retro. You want a demo? I'm the best of both worlds.
Are you one of those guys?
I'ma say so, girl. You see, I'm different, cause I got a brain and a rep that I gotta maintain. You may say that I'm a nerd, well that may be true, but I get paid a lot of money cause I'm smarter than you. So let's cut the crap and get down to the chase. I wanna see what 8-bit looks like on your face. So don't be scared when I take the lead. With a style so hard, it'll make you bleed. And if you're not special when we're done with the deed, I'ma make you leave.
But don't you wanna go again?
I'd rather play Marvel with my friends.
But I'd be doing good.
I don't believe it. You better show me.
Cause you ain't getting more out of me. Don't got time to waste on a waste of space. You gotta work really hard to show me that ain't the case. So please take this personally. I was laughing when you said you were too good for me. Cause I'm into the finer things like red wine and time machines. I appreciate your enthusiasm, but I get bored at the thought of making you orgasm.
What can I do to make it better for you?
Make me a sandwich while I play Street Fighter 2.
Just because I said you wear too much lipstick. No hard feelings, okay? I wanna see you get down in the worst way. Here, so don't be stuck up, take another swig of your beer, or a sip of Bacardi, have a shot of Patron, anything that'll make you sing along. Stop right there, cause I don't believe it. You better show me, girl.
You better show me, girl.
What are you talking about?
Show me, girl.
Show you what?
You know, show me, girl. Show me it.
Yeah, not gonna happen.
You...
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Maybe we got off on the wrong foot, maybe?
Sure. What's your name?
My name's Arrival. Let me start over. Can we start over?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah.